We all have something to be thankful for because God woke us up this morning. We're able to inhale and exhale only because of his great mercy, only because of his faithfulness. We didn't do it ourselves. The alarm clock didn't wake us up. Our iPhones didn't wake us up this morning. They may have rung, but he gave us the ability to rise this morning and hear that alarm as it went off. So we want to thank God. Everybody should have something to praise God for. Some of our family members have gone on to glory before us, but we can thank God for the memories that we have in our hearts. We can thank God because he is God. And I just want to stop for a moment and just say a prayer. Father God, I come to you right now. I come standing on your promises because we know your promises are faithful and true, just as you are. Father God, I ask that you be with me. Father God, I ask that you give me the strength because your word says that when I am weak, you are yet strong. So I ask that you stand up in me. You speak through me, speak for me. And Father God, condition the minds and the hearts of your people, the ones that are here in the congregation and those that are listening on the conference line. Father God, condition their hearts and mind that they will be receptive to your word, not to Diane, but to the word of God. And let your word go forth, God, that it will bring about change in hearts and minds. It will bring about a change that we begin to walk in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to you. So, Father God, I thank you for this privilege, and I thank you for this honor. I thank you for the man over New Joy, the shepherd. The great shepherd that you have placed over New Joy, who sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves. So I thank him for the opportunity to stand before your people. And I just ask that your word go forth. And Father God, I ask this in the mighty and the matchless name of our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, and our joy, who is Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. And I remember last week, Minister Savage talked about an experience that he had with a chair, where he no longer trusted chairs. So the topic that God has given me today is trust. Trust. So in the songs that have been sang talked about faithfulness. It talked about promises. So we can trust in the promises of God because they are yea and amen. We can trust in everything that he said. I used to hear my mother say, you can take it to the bank. If he said it, you can take it to the bank. So we're going to stand on his promises today. We're going to trust in him for everything that we need because he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we come seeking a word from him today. We come seeking his spirit. We come seeking his, oh God, we just thank you. We know that he's in the house. He met us here. He met us here. He came in the door with us. And we thank him for that because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us, even unto the ends of time. And I just thank God for this privilege. We're going to come out of Psalms 56. Verses 3 through 4, and if you would please stand with me, I'm going to read it out of the NIV version, and it says verses 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? What can he do? Because if God is for us, he's more than the whole world against us. So they can't do, they might come up and attack us, but they won't win. Because he who lives on the inside of me is greater than he that's in the world. So I just want to thank you for standing with me. You may be seated. And we know that in this psalm, David had been seized by the Philistines. He was on the run, people. He was an outlaw, if you might say. He was fleeing from Saul. So we know he was at a point where he was afraid. He was in danger. But as the word says here, what did the word say? It said he trusted God. In spite of, he trusted God. Even though he was afraid. You know, a lot of people say God has not given us a spirit of fear, and that's true. But he didn't say we wouldn't be afraid. He did not say we would not be afraid. But when we're afraid, it just depends on what you do when you're in that state of fear, of being afraid. What do? Run to Jesus because he's there. Run to Jesus because you can trust him. You can trust his word. You can trust him to be faithful. But we know that David acknowledged his fear. And it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. But what did he do? He went, and where did he go? He laid it at the feet of Jesus. He laid it at his feet. And why can we do that? Because he said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, come boldly. Don't come like you're scared. Come with a boldness. Come. He gave us permission to. He gave us permission. And we know when it says to do this with all of our heart. And I looked at the heart. We think about our heart. We love with our heart. But you know what? Here he said to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I'm like, I only got one heart. But he said trust in with all of your heart. That means every fiber, your entire being, in total reliance on God. Trust him with your mind, body, and soul. Trust God. You know, we sometimes put our trust in people. And that's okay. I trusted my mama. I'm sure Mason trusted Mel when he was a baby. He still trusts her. He trusted that she was going to feed him, that she was going to pick him up when he cried. And that's okay. But sometimes people will let you down. Sometimes they will let you down. And know what you do with them people? Take them to Jesus. Take them to Jesus. Don't try to fight the battle on your own, because it will be a losing battle. But with God on your side, you won. We are victorious, as the song said. Jesus gave us the victory. When he died and he rose on the third day, he rose with all power in his hands. So he gave us the victory. We didn't do it ourselves. But I just want to, some people ask the question, what harm can it be? What harm can man bring to us? Man can bring harm, but like I said, they're not going to win the battle. And Romans 8:31 tells us that when he's for us, we already won. We've already won. And I just want to go back to Minister Savage talking about not trusting that chair. He talked about the chair because the chair broke on him. So he had but we have to have an experience. In order for us to learn to trust God, we've got to experience him. And that comes from what? Having a relationship with him. It's not about coming into those two doors to these four walls. It's about having a relationship. A lot of people go to church. The devil even went to church. The devil might meet you going out that door. He might walk out with you. You got to have a relationship with God. And a relationship with him means that you pray to him, you talk to him, just like I talk to you, just like I'm talking now. Some people say, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. No, you can just pray to God. And he said he will hear and he will answer. And I know he'll answer because he's answered many of my prayers, many of my prayers. Look at my family sitting over there. He brought them in at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get up in the morning? But he gave me the strength to get up. And then my niece back there, she's the baby of that particular part of my family. But she said, y'all get up. Y'all going to church. Get up, wash your face. If you don't do nothing else, wash your face and brush your teeth. You're going to church. Say, Auntie Diane is speaking today, and we're going to support her. And I thank them for coming. I thank them. But we live in times where there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of trust all around us. If you think about, we don't trust the government because of all of the corruption and the lies. A lot of us don't trust in the, come on, Jesus. Don't trust in our police system anymore because of the brutality. Some of us, we don't trust in. Me personally, I had a problem, and God started to deal with me on this. After my son was tragically killed in an accident, I didn't trust the hospital. I was angry with the hospital. Sorry, Tori. But I was angry with the hospital because I was never notified about my child's death. I was angry with the police because I don't know if I watched too much TV. Nobody ever came to my door and said, they never rang my bell. Nobody notified me about the accident. So I did not trust the police system. I didn't trust them. I even called and asked to speak to the officer that wrote up the police report. Never received a phone call back. So my trust went from here to here. But then God had to tell me, and I thank you, Tori, for the message that you relayed to me through your mom, that Wendell was not alone. There was a nurse there with him. But more than that, God came to me. He said, he wasn't alone. I was with him just as I'm with you. So I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I thank him for it. So I had to stop and look at things from a different vantage point, because sometimes we have what we call misplaced trust. We misplace our trust. Some of us trust in our bank accounts, which can run out. Some of us trust in the stock market, which is up today and down tomorrow. Some of us trust in our jobs and our careers. You may walk in there tomorrow and get a pink slip. So we misplace our trust. I know you all remember the story of Samson and Delilah. Well, Samson misplaced his trust. He trusted Delilah with his secret. And guess what? He lost not only his hair, but he lost his strength. So he misplaced his trust. So we have to, and right now we're living in a time where we're still dealing with COVID-19. We have some people that are saying, I ain't wearing no mask. I ain't taking no vaccine. I ain't doing none of that, because it's a power struggle. You can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult. But then you got some people saying, well, do I take the Moderna? Do I take the Pfizer? Or do I take the Johnson & Johnson? Because they don't trust it. They don't trust it. But I'm not here to tell anybody to take one or the other. But I want you to be safe so that I'm safe. So the decision is yours. But we have times where we don't trust anymore. Mistrust comes even in our families. Sometimes we don't trust our family members because they've given us a reason not to, and sometimes they haven't. But I'd like to have us go to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That's one of my favorite. That is my favorite scripture, actually. And it's, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of your ways, people, trust in him and he will direct your path. So that is my favorite scripture. And if you really lean on that scripture, trust in him in all your ways. For those of you that are in school, trust him when you're taking a test. Stop for a second and bow your head and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right now because I don't remember this stuff. So refresh my mind. Those of us that are seeking jobs, before you go out, say, God, I ask that you show me favor with you and favor with that man or woman that I'm going to sit before. And God will answer. He will answer. I remember before I moved down here, I wanted to move out of Chicago. At that time, my son was having some issues. He was getting into trouble. And I said, I'm going to move. And I could have moved to the suburbs or to Indiana or somewhere. But for those of you that are familiar with Chicago, you can catch transportation 24/7, northwest, east, or south. So he would have just probably went right back to where whatever he wanted to get involved in. So I decided to move. I went to Atlanta. I sought a job there. I didn't physically go, but I sent out resumes to various places. And guess what? Nobody answered. Nobody. And even the answers that I got was, you're either overqualified or we've given the position to someone else. And I came down here to visit my little brother, and I put in an application. And before I could get back home, they were calling me for an interview. So God knew the plan and the purpose that he had for my life. God knew where he wanted me to be. And I walked in obedience, and I came him like, why Oklahoma? There's nothing there but cows and sheep. And, you know, it wasn't like Chicago to me. And so, but I walked in obedience, and I came anyway. And I met my New Joy family. And I thank God, because they have been like my family, Shiny. This is my family when you all are not around. This is my family right here. So I thank God for that. And I thank God for bringing me to New Joy, because as I stated in the prayer, Pastor Forney apparently saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, because God apparently revealed it to him. And that's why I'm standing before you today, because I then walked in obedience, because he stopped me out in the parking lot one day and he said, what you waiting on? I'm like, what you talking about? He said, what you waiting on? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, God been talking to you? I'm like, And so anyway, I just love my New Joy family. I love Minister Savage back there. I sent him the songs, and thank you for singing that song, Pastor Savage. And I just, and he said, you know what? I was just thinking about that song. I said, that's how God works. That's how God works. When we're trying to figure something out, he done already worked it out. He has already worked it out. You know, and a lot of times people say they go on their instincts. Well, that can be good and that can be bad. Because guess what? Your instincts will lead you astray. Sometimes they'll lead you down the wrong path. So, and I've experienced trust in my heart. And oh, Lord, I've had broken heart, heartaches and pains. But so we cannot always trust our heart. And I would like for, about trusting the heart. And then sometimes we will depend on what our mind says, and that can all definitely lead us astray. So I would like for you to read Psalms 18 and 2, and we're going to see what God's word says about trusting him. Trusting him above and beyond any and everything else. Yes, it said that the Lord is her rock and her salvation. Not your mind, not your heart, not your friend's mind, not what Twitter says, not what Google says, but the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And then I would like for, we're going to read also Proverbs 28 and 26. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. If you trust in your mind, you're foolish. You're foolish. But if we get wisdom, and where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from above, from God. What did Solomon ask for? He asked for more wisdom. So if we walk in wisdom, then we're walking in safety. And then I would like for us to read Jeremiah 17 and 9, Pastor.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?
Amen. Thank you. The heart is what? Deceitful. The heart can make you think that you love that man even when he's treating you bad. The heart can make you think that you got to stay in a situation because you're being, even though you're being mistreated. So it's deceitful. It will lead you. Just like Satan deceived Eve, the heart can deceive us. The heart can deceive us. So we just want to know that the only one we can truly trust in is God. Trust in him in all thy ways. Everything that you do, consult God. He's there. He'll answer. And if he don't answer right away, guess what that means? Wait, wait, wait. And I've already talked about Pastor Savage. I just remembered that so much from last week about that chair. And I'd like to just share a personal story with you. For those of you who don't know, I work with children who are mostly autistic or Down syndrome. And for the most part, they're nonverbal. They can't speak verbally, but yet they speak. They speak. They pull, they tug, they shove, they kick, they scream. They do all of those things. And guess what? They do it until we meet their needs or until we address them. So, and we have the same privilege. We can tug, pull, kick, scream, cry. And guess what? God says that he will meet our needs, all of our, not just our needs, but all of our needs according to what? His riches in glory. God will meet our needs no matter what we're going through, no matter what we need. And it may be something that we think we need, but if he don't answer and don't give it to us, guess what? You didn't need it. That was a want. And I have many wants. But God didn't say he would give you all of your wants. He said, I will give you all, meet all of your needs. And he even said he would give us some of the desires of our hearts. Some of them. Some of them. So I remember this little girl, she just kept pulling on me, and I couldn't understand what she wanted. I said, Julia, what is it? She got in the floor, and she did her little snow bunnies on the ground, and she was just kicking and screaming. And finally, I looked down. They have a little chew toy because they chew on everything. She had dropped her chew toy behind someplace that she could not reach. So she began to express herself the best way and the only way she knew how. And I was able to give her her chew toy. And it was just so, and she was just elated. I mean, her little face lit up and a smile across her face, and she just went on. And she went on about her business, but her needs had been met. So we could do the same thing. God ain't going to tell you to shut up. He ain't going to tell you to shut up. He's not going to tell you to shut up. And then I'd like to share another experience. I've already shared part of it with some of you guys. When we went on vacation for fall break, we went to Puerto Vallarta. And my friend, my sister Mia, decides we're going to take an adventure. We're going to take an adventure. We usually do one on every trip we go on. So she said, I'm paying for it. I said, what is it? She said, we're going ziplining. And I said, okay. So I said, okay, I'm down for it. So we got on and we went on what they call the water taxi, which is a boat to us. We got on the water taxi. We went across the island. Side. We got there to the other side. Then we had to take a bus to the mountains. And then we had to climb up the mountain, And I was huffing and I was puffing. And then I got tired and I had to sit down. And the man say, you coming? I said, yeah, I'll be there. I'm coming. So we went on up there and everybody got up, hooked up to the zip line thing on the line up there. And they went on across, Diamond went, Mia and everybody else. I was the last one to go. The man said, you ready? I said, and he hooked me up. He said, go. I said, no! And then he hooked himself up and he went with me. So I was able to trust the line a little better because somebody was with me. And if we went down, we was going together. So we went. And we got over there, and it wasn't just one line. It was like 14 lines. And I'm like, okay, we made that one. We got to the next one. He asked me the same question. He said, go. I said, no. He said, you know what? He said, I'm getting tired of you. He said, you got to go. He said, because you're at a point of no return. I said, I can go back and wait for you. He said, but we ain't coming back that way. I said, oh, no. So I got on there. And this time he said, go, I said. And I closed my eyes, and I went with my eyes clenched and my fists all tight, holding on for dear life. And I held on, and I went across. And I'm like, ooh, that wasn't so bad after all. And we made it over there. And I said, ooh, I did it. I made it. And so then the next time, I was able to enjoy myself because I was able to relax my body. But before I went that second time, when I went by myself, I prayed. I said, Lord, you got to see me across this line. I say we're 40 to 100 feet up in the air, and ain't nothing down there but rocks and water and trees over here. I say you got to see me through. And that's how I made it through. I wasn't trusting the line so much, but I was trusting that God said he was not leave me or forsake me, so I trusted that he was with me, and he was with me, and I thank him for that. I thank him for his word. I thank him for his faithfulness, and you know, a lot of times, we have to learn to trust God, even when we don't see a way. We have to learn to trust God, even when things don't happen. What? In our time. Because our time is not his time. Our ways are not his ways. So we have to learn to trust God like Abraham did. Even though he did not see or know how God's promise was going to come, that he was going to be the father of many nations, he held on and he had faith. So he trusted in God, even though he didn't see the way. We have to learn to trust God like the Hebrew boys who were in the fiery furnace. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I used to say a billy goat. But anyway, they had to trust God even in that fiery furnace. Because when they threw him in, it was three. But when the king looked in, how many did he see? He saw four. So that meant that God was with them. And then we have to learn to trust like Moses did at the Red Sea. When the army was behind them and there was a river in front of them. They didn't see how they couldn't get away. But God parted the Red Sea and saw them through. Because Moses trusted God to the point where he did exactly what God said out of obedience. And that's something that we need to learn, people, is to walk in obedience. We have to trust God to know that he will do just what he said he would do. We have to trust God because he is faithful. He has never failed us. He cannot lie. His word is faithful and true. And whatever he said, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. We have to trust just like our foreparents did. They brought them through slavery, through the Jim Crow, through segregation. Our families made it. We have matriarchs in our family that helped us to learn about our past. And sometimes we got to look back on what God has already done to appreciate what he's going to do. And look back and remember that if he did it then, he'll do it now. Because guess what? He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God changes not. We change. He don't change. He does not change. His word was written and it still stands. All 66 books, you can bank on every word that is written in this Bible, every word. All you got to do is take the time to read it, and if you don't understand it, guess what? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of each and every one of us. He says to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what it is that God's trying to tell you, and it will work. It will work, people, because sometimes I'll pick up this word, and I'll be like, huh? And then I'll go back and read it again after I've prayed. And then all of a sudden, illuminated. The word is illuminated. It said it's a light unto our path. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we have to remember that God is Emmanuel. He is with us. God with us. That means that Emmanuel is with us. And if he's with us, what did I say earlier? He's more than the whole world against us. So don't look at the enemy for who he is or what he is. Don't discount him, though. But look to God. Look to God. Look to God, because he is the answer to all of our prayers. Look to God. And we have to remember that God will see us through. He's going to take us through. Life is just a process. We're going through a process from day to day, week to week. As we get older, as I've gotten older, I don't look at things the way I used to. I've grown in age and I've grown in maturity in the word of God to be able to stand on his promises, because his promises will come to pass. His promises, not mine. I remember being a kid. You had a friend. You might say, girl, I promise you. You say, pinky swear. Yeah, pinky swear. We don't have to pinky swear with God. His is rubber stamped, and it's not going to change. You can't change it. You cannot change his word. And then we have to just remember that no matter what you go through, trust God. No matter what you go through, stand on his promises. No matter what you're going through, know that God will see you through. God is the answer. He's the answer, and he's the rewarder of those that seek him. And no matter what you're going through, in spite of what we have done, even in our walks of disobedience, I should say, God is still with us. Guess what? He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come back and say, guess what? I messed up. And for you to do this, turn around, repent, and turn back to him. Turn back to him. If you've walked away from him, turn back to him. If you've forgotten who he is, go back in your memory bank and pull up some of the things that he's already done. Look at Sister Carol over there. God has healed her body. Look at Sister Monita, who was not supposed to have any children. And how many? She got three and some grandchildren, and she got some extra, some sons, some new sons in Minister Savage and Brother Darius back there. She has, you know, I think about my family. I have a nephew. And it breaks my heart. His name is Linnell. And he has turned his back on his family. So I ask that you guys pray for him, that he will come back to his family. Because I know God is a restorer. He can restore whatever the enemy thinks that he's stolen. God can restore. So I pray for restoration in our family. I pray for restoration in our communities. I pray for restoration in our homes. Some of us live in broken homes, but we're all broken, people. We are all broken. We are all broken. But God can put you back together. Just like I remember as a kid, Humpty Dumpty, hallelujah, went up and he fell. What? But they put him back together again. God can do the same for you and me. He can put us back together. Wherever you're broken, give your brokenness to God. He can heal you. He can deliver you. And he can set you free. And it says that if you're free in Jesus, you're free indeed. He can put us back together as a community, as a race of people. We have fallen. We've fallen so far from him. It's time to come back. We're living in perilous times, people. Tomorrow is not promised. Just like my son walked out the door one morning and he didn't walk back in. Tomorrow is not promised. So cherish your loved ones while you have them. Cherish and trust God that he will do just what he said he would do. I thank you for allowing me to stand before you, but I want to leave you with these three points. Trust God above and beyond anything and anybody. Trust him above the government, above your money, above your spouse. Trust God. And then walk like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm sorry. Or if you got to crawl. But she kept on pressing until she touched his garment and she received her healing. So trust God. Walk, crawl by faith like her and keep going. And then once you've crawled, stand up and stand on his promises. When all else is sinking sand, stand on his promises. Because I can tell you I'm going to do this and have all intentions on doing it. And for some reason, I might not do it. But guess what? You take it to God. He will handle it. He will see you through. Ha! This is because he is faithful. His word is faithful. His word is true. And he cannot lie. So know that God is more than the whole world against you. He is for you. He's with you. He is with you, people. He loved you enough to give his only begotten son that you could live. He didn't say just live, but he said to live and have life more abundantly. Well, I'm expecting the abundant life. I've lived. Some of us are merely existing, but he wants us to live. Live. Put down whatever the weights are and pick up the word of God, for he is with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for this privilege. I thank you for this honor. And I thank you, God, that I know that your word has touched a heart and that you are turning situations around. And Father God, I just praise you for who you are, what you have done, and what you promise you will do. For we're standing on your promises. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, our joy, and our peace, all lie in you. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.